When couples stand together and declare their wedding vows, they're often focused like a laser on the present, the joining together. But there is that promise, till death do us part. If the marriage proceeds as the couple hopes and they stay together, one day they will be forced to confront exactly what those words really mean. NPR's Diane Rehm reached that moment of truth on June 14, 2014. That's the day her husband of 54 years began his withdrawal from life. John Rehm had battled Parkinson's disease for 9 years. He was ready to stop fighting. John Rehm's decision to end his life and Diane's living day to day, month to month without him is the focus of her latest book, On My Own. Diane Rehm, it is a pleasure to welcome you to Stateside.
Oh, thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
Diane, I want to start exactly where you do in your book. At the moment that your husband, John, made the choice that it was time to end his life, why then?
Because by then he no longer had use of his hands. He could no longer walk. He could no longer care for himself in any way at all. And he said, you know, that life was no longer worth living. He felt there he was lying in that bed, literally being fed. This man of such dynamic intellectual ability, this man whose mind was so sharp, who in life could do anything. When I met him, he was the pitcher on the State Department softball team. I was the second baseman on the State Department's women's softball team. And at first we got to talking about softball and then many other things. But he was such a strong man. And I think for him, the indignity of what he was experiencing finally became more than he could endure.
And he expected when he made the decision that he could get some help, but that was not possible in the state of Maryland, as in most states, including here in Michigan. So no one could help him.
He really thought that his doctor there at the assisted living facility could simply give him a pill and he could go to sleep and that would be it. After a long discussion with the doctor, our son was in the room, our daughter Jenny, herself a doctor, on the line with us from Boston, said to him, "But Dad, we can keep you comfortable." And John was very firm. He said, "I don't want comfort. I am ready to die." So he did what I feared he would do. He said, "I will no longer take water. I will no longer take food. I will no longer take medication." And for a day or so, he felt fine. And then that slow descent began.
And you sat there at his side during those nearly 10 days. And your words really struck me. I want to share your words with our listeners. You wrote, "I rage at a system that would not allow John to be helped toward his own death. I cry at the loss of what might have been this final intimacy between us, replaced by a long descent into oblivion." Had he gotten that pill and not had the long descent, do you think it would have affected the way John's death hit you and what the process was like for you after, Diane?
What I know is that John and I had talked many, many times, not just between ourselves, but with our children as well, about being willing to help each other when the end came. But sitting there, watching him disintegrate before my eyes, was just so hard. Those last couple of days that we had together were so dear. Mm-hmm. I brought him an album of photographs I had made for him years before, from his time of birth to his prep school years. And together we looked at those pictures. I sat on the bed with him and we went over them and talked about them. We talked about our marriage. We talked about what had been so wonderful about it, the good times. And we also talked about how much time we had wasted on the bad times. So we did have a chance to talk. And I think the one advantage, if he had been able to take a pill, we would all, my daughter, my son, and I, have been able to be with him as he went. And that's what I missed, because I had slept there at the hospital, at the assisted living facility, the night before on two chairs with my little dog Maxie on my stomach. And I couldn't sleep. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I got up and began writing on my iPad. And that really became the beginning of the book. And then at 7:30, I went home to wash and feed the dog and walk the dog. And John's caregiver called and said, "Quick, Miss Diane, I think he's passing." And by the time I got there, it was 20 minutes too late.
I'm talking with Diane Rehm about her memoir, On My Own, as she takes us through her husband's death and the year afterward. And Diane, I really have to say, as a reader, I really appreciated the respect that you showed to me and your readers. You brought us into the heart of your marriage. You were so open and so honest. Good times you describe, and you talk about hard times, and you tell us of John's tearful confession of what he called his deliberately emotionally abusive behavior towards you. What was that like? What kind of behavior was that, and why did you feel you wanted to share that with us, your readers?
Because I think there are no perfect marriages in this world. I mean, one looking at our marriage from the outside would see two happy, successful people with two glorious, successful, and happy children. And yet there were times of such long periods of silence between us, such periods of tension, periods of anger. That's why I feel we wasted so much time. But at the same time, I really do believe that there are many marriages like ours. They're not horrible marriages, and yet they're not perfect marriages. There are, at least from what I've seen, there is no such thing as a perfect marriage in this world, because two people come together, whether they are gay or straight, whether they are older or younger. I think people are simply different from one another.
We all have those rough edges and they smack into each other.
You bet, but let us not allow the perfect to be the enemy of the good. And we had a good marriage.
For those who have not been through the ordeal of losing a partner, it is a sense of what it can be like. And for that, I'm very grateful for the honesty. And you mentioned, you know, kind of ended your book with some big news that you have come to the point where after some 37 years, you're going to be stepping away from the microphone and the Diane Rehm Show by the end of this year. And that will not only let you sleep in past 5 a.m., so hooray for that, but it's going
you
to...
You bet.
Oh, you're going to... I think all your fans were going, you know, let her sleep in after 5 a.m. She's earned it. But this is going to relieve you of the necessary restrictions of remaining neutral, and you plan to take an active role in the Right to Die movement. What's that going to look like for you?
I'm not sure yet. I'm not going to be necessarily speaking for any organization in particular or any group in particular. I'm going to be speaking out from my own heart, from my own experience, and urging families and people, individuals, to honor the idea of death as much as we honor the idea of birth and marriage. It is part of life, and we need to talk about it. We need to talk with each other about what it is we want, what we don't want. If we want palliative care forever and ever, that's what we should say. If we believe that only God should take a life, that's what we should say we want. So that will be one of the things I'll be doing. And I'm going to do as much as I can to bring attention to Alzheimer's disease as well as to Parkinson's disease. So I will be here at the station part-time with obligations not clearly as yet designated, but I will be doing all the other things as well. So I think I'll be busy enough.
And the people who count on hearing you every day, it may not every day, but we've got your books, and there will be other ways that you're going to be able to get your voice out there.
Absolutely.
NPR's Diane Rehm. Her latest book is On My Own. Diane, thank you for sharing your story and John's story so beautifully with us.
Thank you so much.